Board will come to order. Good morning. Welcome to the 1,337th meeting of the Board of Directors. This is January 29th, 2009. We begin our meetings with public comment. I am advised that there are no speakers with us this morning, and so we will proceed immediately to our agenda. The agenda has been previously distributed. There's a revised version in blue. Are there any additions to be made? Mr. Graham.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. The District of Columbia would like to add the N-22 takeover public hearing to the agenda at some appropriate point.
This is an item that was discussed previously, I believe, in a Customer Service and Operations Committee.
Correct.
It seems to me that would be an appropriate place to add it. Is there any objection to adding that item to the agenda? Hearing none, I'll offer the agenda, the revised agenda, with that addition under item 8. Is there objection to the acceptance of that agenda? If not, with the unanimous consent of the board, the revised agenda, as amended, is accepted. We'll move now to the approval of minutes. We have before you minutes for the meeting, the December 18th regular board meeting, and the January 8th special board meeting. They have been previously distributed. Members hopefully have had a chance to review them. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes for either of those meetings?
Move approval.
Mr. Benjamin moves that they be approved as presented. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Minutes for both those meetings are accepted as presented. Item 5 is the report of the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Iacomini, the chair of the council, is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. President. Hello, all. I know that I promised you last time in December it would be my swan song, but we had our elections delayed at our meeting in December. So we'll be, or earlier in January, excuse me, so we'll be having them in February. So I'm with you one last time. As is my custom, I'd like to highlight the issues involving the RAC this past month. First of all, paper transfer elimination. Though it seems sort of like a distant memory with everything that's happened in this city since then, Metro and many regional bus operators eliminated paper transfer on January 4th. And frankly, it appears that this change in policy is going fairly smoothly. The council would ask board members to continue to be vigilant with regard to this issue, especially to ensure that senior citizens and persons with disabilities have convenient access to purchase and reloading of the appropriate smart trip cards. The council also asked the board to continue to advance the planned enhancements of smart trip, even though I know we're in tough budgetary times. Being able to load passes onto the smart trip card is something that many riders have brought and continue to bring to RAC's attention. And on a personal note, I'm sort of looking forward to the transfer machines being removed from all the rail stations. You know, at this point, they're sculpture, and they're not all that interesting. Presidential inauguration. The council and I would like to add our voices to the many offering congratulations to Metro on a job well done for its service during the inaugural festivities. Of course, there's always blips and blurps with these things, but you know, overall, it seems to have gone very well. The general manager and other Metro staff did update the council on Metro's plans for inauguration at our January meeting and did solicit feedback. We did make comments, but we know that things changed, and things changed that day by hour, by minute, by second. Having been downtown and at work myself that day, I know full well. But Metro's success on that day shows the clear importance of abundant communication to alert riders to delays and other disruptions. And the preponderance of letters and other comments in the media stressed what a critical role communication played that day. If the authority does a lessons learned exercise as a follow-up from last week, it is my hope staff will review their communications efforts with an eye towards further institutionalizing these practices for other events. I myself heard many favorable comments from folks who used Metro Rail that day, and from some few that I knew who used the buses, particularly the ones out to Boston, which I were told were not all that full in the evening. And I'd ask, well, was there good signage at the station saying you could take the bus instead of waiting at Boggy Bottom? And they were sort of unclear on that. So, you know, there's things we can still keep doing. And I also was personally thrilled that the escalators at Capitol South, all of them were finally running from the mezzanine to the surface. That was a banner day. Of course, I think I've now jinxed it. We were glad to welcome Mr. Zimmerman to our January meeting, and the council expresses our sincere gratitude for his work as board chairman this past year, especially for his willingness to engage the council and solicit its opinion on several issues. RAF looks forward to hosting the incoming chairman and any and all members of the board who might like to come and speak or just come and observe or participate, sort of, we would think of you as ex officio members. Capital needs inventory was discussed on January 14th. We had a joint RAF and Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting. It allowed RAF and AAC members to weigh in on priorities for the next iteration of the capital improvement plan. While we couldn't go through all the items in the proposed $11 billion capital plan on a project-by-project basis, we do appreciate staff's willingness to reach out to the advisory groups in this early stage. The budget. Well, of course, you all just came from a briefing on that, and the council has not yet had the opportunity to begin discussions, but we will at our next week's meeting. Like everyone, we are concerned about the potential service cuts to balance the budget. And as transit riders, the prospect of cutting service is naturally very troubling. We are hopeful Metro will engage its riders in a broad public process before making any decisions on such reductions. But we know you will be thoughtful on the matter, and we all know that we are in a difficult time. Customer service standards. Deputy General Manager Gerald Francis has shared a draft of Metro's customer service standards with the RAC, and we hope to discuss that this coming week as well. Lastly, the council notes that Metro is holding meetings on several bus lines as part of its service evaluation study and would like to be kept abreast of any planned changes to bus service that results from those meetings, separate and beyond what's happening with the budget. And as always, I appreciate and have appreciated the attention of all of you, staff, board members, especially our staff, John Pasek, through this past year. You all have been very good about the concerns of the Riders Advisory Council and some of the questions and things that I've asked through the years. And I know that you'll work well and that our new incoming chairperson, whoever that will work well with you and continue in our tradition. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Yakubini. Can I ask you to stay around for just a second?
With that, we move to the chairman's report, and I have a specific duty here because we have a new member, most specifically a new alternate representative for the District of Columbia. And so I will ask that Mr. Brown will stand. And you have to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Michael A. Brown.
I'm Michael A. Brown.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear. That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the District of Columbia.
The Constitution and laws of the District of Columbia.
As an alternate director.
As an alternate director.
Of the Board of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Board of the Washington Metropolitan Area Board of.
This is the part we test.
Well, not.
And will faithfully discharge.
And will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office upon which I am to enter.
The duties of.
Of the office upon
of the
which.
Of the office of which.
I am about to enter.
I'm about to enter.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
And no, we won't be redoing that. We have next item up. We have some appointments to the Writers Advisory Council. There's a resolution. We won't read it all. I will note that the key points begin the resolve clause, which. I'll read that portion. The Board of Directors hereby reappoints Patricia Daniels and Kenneth DeGraff and appoints David Alpert to represent the District of Columbia, and resolve that the Board of Directors hereby reappoints Sharon Kahn and appoints Francis DiBernardo and Laura Rout to represent the State of Maryland. The Board of Directors hereby reappoints Penelope Erlein to represent the Commonwealth of Virginia. And here's where there's blanks in what you got. The Board of Directors hereby appoints Dharam Goraswamy and Carl Seip as at-large representatives without regard to jurisdiction, and so on and so forth. Those are the appointments, and I move approval of the resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
If there's no discussion, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Item C, we have some revised committee assignments, essentially just pursuant to the oath we just administered. Since we have a new member, we have to assign him to committees. Now, this only takes care of next month. We'll have a whole new set of committee assignments under your new chairman, but this takes care of this month. Mr. Brown is added to the committees of his predecessor, specifically customer service operations planning and finance, and I move the approval of those committee assignments. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Graham. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries, and that is done. And with that, I will turn to the general manager for his report. Mr. Cato.
Thank you. Nine, and again, I'd like to support the board for all of its support to the employees and the services of Metro. I'm grateful in these very difficult times to be able to count on the experience of this board and the judgment as we go forth and make decisions on our budget, services, and other actions of this organization. I would like to take a short period of time again just to talk about the inauguration. That's been a topic we discussed a great deal in committee, but just to say this is a great example of first communicating and painting the correct expectation or expectations of the services for the inauguration and for the days that led up to it. It is also a great example of planning, testing, and testing, and then implementation. Metro employees throughout the organization performed to the highest level on this four-day period, and they were flexible and made changes where necessary on a daily basis and sometimes on an hourly basis. Those individuals took the authority and took the action because we delegated that authority to them, and they performed to me at a very high level. Again, the results will be talked about for many years. About the achievement that that occurred on that day, but the key point is that we got the correct support and the resources necessary to do the job, and I can say that we can all be proud of our contributions and the part that we played in this historical national event. But before I finish, I think it's important for us to realize that in the next 20 years, Metro will be expected to carry close to 1.1 million passengers every single weekday on our rail system. We will need the resources to do that. We need to fully leverage our bus services with rapid and express corridors as we did during the week of the inauguration. Our special bus corridors carried more than 200,000 people that day, which helped take the pressure off of the rail system. And it is an example of what you can do with bus services and special corridors. This is something we need to take advantage of in the upcoming years and decades. Along with the historic nature of the inauguration, we also have a concrete idea of what it's like to carry more than 1 million people in a day. It isn't just an abstract number anymore, and I think that knowledge, again, highlights the importance of funding Metro's operations and capital budgets into the future. Again, it's mentioned over the past couple of weeks, we did eliminate the paper transfers, and I agree with the assessment of the Riders Advisory Committee that it has gone very smoothly. In those cases where we've had some issues, we've responded to them very quickly, and we will continue to monitor the impact of that change. Reflecting on 2008, again, it was a tremendous year for Metro. We broke ridership records almost on a weekly basis. And, of course, we were able to provide services to events that people question our ability to perform and provide the level of service and the quality of service that we were able to do so. Some of the highlights from my perspective, particularly in the area of safety, is that we had zero work-related fatalities in 2008, as well as no pedestrian fatalities in that year, which is a major shift from prior years of the organization. We were able to redeploy additional transit police officers and added additional security, or received funding for additional security on a bus fleets by the addition of cameras. Also, from a customer standpoint, we have improved our communications. Of course, there's more we can do in that area, and we will continue to work to improve that. We developed rapid bus corridors, and again, we changed the schedule for the maintenance on our rail to minimize single tracking. There were many highlights of this year, and I believe, Mr. Chairman, some of which you're going to address in your presentation, but 2008 was a move forward in quality of service for the Metro customers, and it was a banner year from the aspect of carrying additional passengers and us providing additional services. Again, Mr. Chairman, there are many details of this which I will communicate to the board over the next few weeks and develop new goals and objectives for 2009 that will provide even a higher level of quality service to our customers. That really concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. However, we do have recognition of an outstanding employee, and I'm going to ask our Deputy General Manager, Gerald Francis, to talk about the specifics and ask that you join me in the center of the room to honor this employee.
At this time, I'd like to invite Station Manager Larry Chisholm. Mr. Chisholm, if you can come down and join the chairman and the general manager. Okay. On Christmas Eve last month, Station Manager Larry Chisholm was working at the Silver Springs Metro Rail Station. That evening, a man came into the station and passed through the emergency gate by passing through the fare gate. As he passed Station Manager Chisholm, he said something along the lines of, "You just call the police, I don't care anymore." Station Manager Chisholm followed the man up the escalator to the platform and saw him jump down into the rail track bed, telling Station Manager Chisholm that he wanted to kill himself. Station Manager Chisholm quickly moved to shut down the third rail power, then returned to talk to the customer out of ending his life, finally convincing him to climb back out of the track bed. His quick actions and his compassion for another human being certainly saved a life this past holiday season. So I would like each and every one of you to join me in recognizing Station Manager Larry Chisholm.
Thank you.
Mr. Giancola.
I'd like to ask a question of the general manager regarding the Houston police officer who also rescued the lady at the knuckle area. Are we doing something for him, some sort of award or some sort of recognition?
I did contact his general manager that day. Let me go back. We did have an officer who volunteered to assist us during the inauguration who observed a 63-year-old customer sliding into the tracks. And because of the training that we provided to him the day before, he knew exactly what to do to assist that customer in getting under the platform so she would not suffer major or serious injuries or even a loss of life. I did contact the officer's general manager in Houston. They put on a welcoming parade for him, and he's been on CNN, also Good Morning America, and I think after this
part. And on our YouTube spot.
And our YouTube, okay.
Mr. Giancola, I did send a letter to the chairman of the authority in Houston indicating our gratitude for all the folks that they lent to the effort on Inauguration Day, and in particular to Officer Swainson for his heroics, which really did save the day. And as he noted, he had just received training from Metro within the few days before that, which he immediately put to good use.
Thank you.
Other questions? Ms. Hewlett.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Mr. Cato, we all talked about this in the previous work session on how proud we were of WMATA that day and that whole weekend, actually. And you talked about the 2008 records that we broke, and then in one weekend we broke every other record that we had from every other prior year. I wanted to follow up on Mr. Giancola's question about we're so proud of the Houston officer, but I ran into several officers from all around the country, and it seems I kept running into the Massachusetts officers as well. How are we thanking all the officers who stepped up to the plate?
We are sending letters to the individual officers, and we are also putting together plaques for them.
Okay.
And they did have the opportunity to give the a special badge, a commemorative badge that was designed for the inauguration. And the chief, if you have any other comments.
Yes, we are preparing shadow boxes with the inaugural badge for the Metro Transit Police with the message coming from the general manager to their respective general managers or CEOs, in addition to the police chief, thanking them. We have pictures. Thanks to Larry Levine. We took pictures at the law enforcement memorial. We will be preparing a Medal of Valor award for the Officer Swainson as well.
Okay, thank you. And again, and this goes to you too, Chief, before for all the WMATA police officers who stepped up to the plate. And while we thanked everyone else, and I personally thanked the New Carrollton folks who did a yeoman's job in Prince George's County, as well as Capitol South, I was remiss in not thanking, it all started with planning, and I was remiss in not thanking you too as general manager. And I know I had numerous conversations too with Mr. Francis, deputy general manager. And I kept calling on Saturdays and Sundays with questions, and you were here working hard. I knew there were a lot of planning that went into it. So thank you very, very, very much.
And if I may add, we had contributions from the area jurisdictional law enforcement agencies, Prince George's County, Montgomery County, the FBI, Capitol Police. Everybody in this region came forward and participated in making this a safe and successful event. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I already expressed myself via an email, I guess the next day after the January 20th events, and was very pleased, not very pleased, overly pleased with enthusiasm in terms of how the system performed and the professionalism of everyone that day and the days leading up to it. I just learned from my staff just the other day that there was something happened at the in terms of the one of Landmark Mall being one of the 23 bus special bus locations that folks were at Landmark and buses never arrived. Do we know what caused that?
In fact, Milo Victoria is coming up now.
All right. We promoted it, widely and maps and everything else, but no buses ever arrived at Landmark Mall.
Yes, good morning. Good Still warning. We had heard about the ones at Landmark. There was some confusion about, I believe, the seven buses as well. Some of them were mismarked. And so, from what I understand, some of the buses did not arrive as they were supposed to. They were set someplace else. But we show a record of 14, I believe it's 14, that actually did go to Landmark.
14 buses of people?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions to the general manager?
If not, then we'll the report of the customer service operations and safety committee. Mr. Grant.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We have added to the agenda the N-22 takeover public hearing. The purpose of this resolution is to authorize a public hearing to discontinue Metrobus route N-22 effective March 29, 2009 for transfer to the DC circulator. Route N-22 provides service between Union Station and Navy Yard Station via Eastern Market and the Washington Navy Yard. It has been the subject of several six-month extensions by the District of Columbia, which DC has funded. We had taken this off the agenda, put it on the agenda, and so on, but we now have reached a consensus. Mr. Albert is part of that consensus, as is the neighborhood, and I think we are at a point now where we can proceed to authorize the public hearing necessary as preparatory for the elimination of the N-22 service effective March 29, 2009. There is no adverse fiscal impact as a result of this matter. So I move the public hearing on that score.
Mr. Graham moves the board authorize a public hearing. Second, I heard a second from Mr. Albert. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Mr. Graham.
Other than that, we did have a discussion of the inauguration, and staff had requested authorization for an all-day bus pass and authorization of indemnification, which actually I think we took. That's been taken care of. And we had reports on operational performance, metro crime and public safety issues, and the safety performance indicators. All were discussed in detail at our meeting. That concludes our report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Report of the Finance Administration Oversight Committee, Mr. Benjamin.
There we go. Okay. You have before you a resolution where staff requests that we accept the fiscal year 2008 external audit deliverables. What we received as a result of our audit was an unqualified opinion, which is what you're looking for. It says that our statements are presented fairly in all material respects, and they reflect the proper financial position of the authority, and that the statements are in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. You can see the individual items that we're being asked to accept, and the committee recommends that we accept them, and I move approval.
Mr. Benjamin moves approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Hudgens. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Mr. Benjamin.
That's it.
All right. We will move next to administrative actions. There are four items. We're going to take them individually today. The first is a request for board approval for indemnification of WageWorks Incorporated. Let me note, Mr. Linton would like the record to note that he is recusing himself from any participation on this matter. Mr. Cato.
This is a request for indemnification in connection with the contract with WageWorks, Inc., which is the administrator for the flexible spending account for the authority. And that that agreement is in place, and there's an indemnification clause which was included subject to the board's approval. And the indemnification is a cross-indemnification or mutual indemnification. Each party agrees that the other party will be responsible for their own negligent actions or intentional wrongdoing. There was a question raised by Mr. Benjamin after we reviewed the materials that were sent out concerning whether the indemnity language gave the impression that WMATA was indemnifying WageWorks for its own negligence. That is not the case. That was not the intent of the parties in the negotiations, but we have communicated with WageWorks that we need to have a clarifying statement in the agreement. They have no objection to that, but we have not been able to finalize it. It'll probably take another day or two before we actually include that amendment language in the WageWorks agreement. So that's the status of this particular action.
I appreciate the staff responding quickly to noting the fact that the contract didn't clarify who was being indemnified for what. There is a third whereas here which notes the issue that the contract or the agreement will be amended. The language in that whereas is not quite as clear as I wish it were, and really clear language is provided in the BAIS in the bold section, which says the contract is being amended to expressly provide that the indemnification language does not require one party to indemnify the other for the actions and omissions of the party receiving the indemnification. If we could substitute that language for the text in the third whereas, I would be happy to move this resolution.
We can certainly do that, yes.
Okay. Then with that change, I move this resolution.
Mr. Benjamin moves approval with an amendment. With that change you indicated.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Graham. In discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Someone please let Mr. Linton know that he can come back. Yeah, thank you. Okay, item two is request for board approval of resolutions to amend and restate the plan documents for the six metro retirement plans and authorize general manager to take such further actions as may be necessary or desirable for the plans to continue qualification under Section 401A of the Internal Revenue Code. Mr. Cato, is this a standard IRS requirement?
Yes, it is. Ms. Burns, sir?
Can I just ask one question?
Ms. Burns?
We have a shortage of working microphone seals.
The IRS requires our qualified employee benefit plans to renew their favorable determination letters every 5 years. And so Metro this requires reinstating the plan document for each of our six retirement plans to make the changes that are required in the plan to retain its IRS qualification. And as you know, the six restated plans are the WMATA retirement plan, the WMATA local two retirement plan, the transit employee retirement plan, the WMATA local 9.2 retirement plan,
questions, Mr. Benjamin.
Yeah, I just wanted to make absolutely certain that what we're talking about is technical amendments in order to meet the IRS requirements, and that these don't in any way change any benefits that any employee would or any retired employee would receive.
That's correct.
Okay, that's fine. Then I move this item.
Motion by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Graham. Discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. Item three is the request for board approval to initiate and award a new sole source contract for providing Protect at one additional Metro Rail station for an amount not to exceed $606,000. I believe this item was pulled from an agenda in a previous meeting.
Yes, it was.
And the issues have been corrected. I move the item.
And Mr. Benjamin moves approval. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Hudgens. Is there discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. And final administrative item four is request to obtain approval to initiate and award a contract for one new heavy-duty tow truck for bus maintenance.
I move this item also.
Mr. Benjamin moves approval. Seconded by Mr. Graham. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. All right. That brings us to that. And leads me to the beginning of my final duties before I return to the ranks of the regular members. I'm assuming the chairmanship last year, I noted that the authority has had to shift to respond to the challenges of managing a maturing system. And I said that I saw two broad challenges facing us: to focus on customer service, reliability, quality, and performance today, and to plan for tomorrow, fulfilling our leadership role in the region. Over the past 12 months, we've tried to address each of these. And I think it can be said we've seen one of the most successful years in the history of this authority. To ensure that WMATA delivers, in Mr. Cato's catchphrase, the best ride in the nation, we needed not another study, but an action plan. The board's job was to establish a cohesive framework that would constitute a blueprint for high performance and continual improvement. That we did last March. We set the framework, adopting about 68 specific performance goals, and we delegated authority to the manager. The board consciously adopted this leadership model. We set out well-defined objectives, and we gave the GM relatively free rein to run the agency. And now, we and the public can fairly judge the result. Surely, there could have been no greater test conceived than the one that was conducted last week. And just as surely, few would dispute that Mr. Cato and the men and women of this transit authority passed with flying colors. This has been said in numerous outlets. There was a particularly favorable mention in a Washington Post editorial. I liked the one I saw in the Post Express the day after, where they had one of those instant polls they do of readers, I guess, and asked the question of, you know, do you think Metro handled it well? And 76% said yes. But that record-shattering week was simply the coda to a year of record performances for WMATA in both ridership and service improvement. 18 of the top 20 days in ridership in Metro's history have occurred in the past 12 months. What is notable and should give us all the greatest sense of accomplishment is that while Metro faced the greatest demands ever placed on it, the quality and reliability of Metro's service improved across the board. Rail service, bus service, paratransit all saw measurable gains. Mr. Cato referred to some of the things earlier. Some examples, just quickly, are better on-time performance on both the rail and bus systems, the reduction of offloads. We successfully deployed 8-car train consist, and in fact, last week we had 50% 8-car trains running on the system, something never before achieved. We implemented door-to-door service for Metro Access. We installed grab handles on 25% of the rail fleet. We also had improvements in the safety area. For instance, we reduced claims for work-related injuries by more than 10%, and we had zero work-related fatalities. This is just to name a few. Overall, we had the completion of about 78% of the wide-ranging objectives that we established early in the year, with others that will follow shortly. And it should be remarked that this was accomplished in an environment in which economy measures were being undertaken in the administration of this authority. We were talking this morning about prospective cuts for the next year, but the fact is, for the last 2 years, really, the area of administration in particular has seen economy measures really ever since Mr. Cato's arrival. It's also worthy of comment that for the first time in years, WMATA's overtime expenditure is below budget. While we can and should take pride in the genuine achievements of the last year, this is not to say that we are satisfied. Not every one of our objectives have been met, and even in the many areas where they have, the new standards can be pushed still farther on. Success is not something to rest on, it's something to build on. In coming weeks, the board will be reviewing specific performance objectives in detail with the general manager, identifying the areas that still need improvement, and establishing new goals for which to strive in the coming year. Indeed, refusing to be satisfied, renouncing complacency, and continually setting new thresholds to attain is what it means to be a goal-oriented, performance-driven organization. It is this attitude and approach that must be institutionalized within the agency. I believe we've taken the first major steps toward that end. The second big area of responsibility for this board concerns its role as the key transit planning agency for the region. In this area, the year certainly ended much brighter than it began. Almost exactly a year ago, the day I was elected chairman, Mr. Cato and I were summoned to a meeting on Capitol Hill with the Virginia Congressional Delegation and the governor to hear the U.S. Secretary of Transportation and the FDA administrator explain that, despite all previous indications, they were not going to allow the release of federal funds for the extension of Metrorail to Tysons Corner and Dulles Airport. This major expansion of the system, on which so many have labored for so long, in which so much has already been invested, and which is so vital to the future of the region, was apparently dead. I will not attempt to recount all that went into reviving it,
but much credit again goes to our general manager and the staff here. By December, the project had achieved the coveted full funding grant agreement, and we can finally say that Dulles Rail is on its way to becoming reality. With a new administration that is clearly more favorably disposed to public transportation, and which has made explicit commitments on global warming and energy independence, we have reason to hope that we are entering a new era in which investment in transit infrastructure will be a national priority. Perhaps we've seen some evidence of that just last night in the vote in the House. There are plenty of signs that our region is ready to lead the way in this new era, and I'm very pleased to see that the Purple Line is finally advancing in Maryland. Also, streetcar projects continue to make progress in both the district and in Arlington. But it isn't only about rail. Assuming the chairmanship last year, I argued that there is a great opportunity for expansion of transit capacity that has never been fully developed or promoted. That is, the effective use of our road systems as part of the public transportation network through the establishment of exclusive or semi-exclusive lanes and the use of queue jumpers. I specifically propose that we build on the example of Minneapolis and other cities, as well as our own Dulles Access Highway here in Northern Virginia, that have shown the potential of bus on shoulder. I continue to believe that there is tremendous untapped potential in more effective use of infrastructure that largely exists today to move a high volume of passengers past congested traffic and onto their destinations. On January 20th, as the manager noted, the region got a little bit of a preview of the possibilities with the 23 special bus routes deployed for the inauguration, many of them on temporarily car-free roads and bridges. As I acknowledged last year, the difficulty for WMATA of realizing such a network is that so many of the key assets are outside of Metro's control. The roads are owned by other authorities, and implementation therefore depends on buy-in across jurisdictions and different levels of government. Any hope of success, frankly, will require that those who own and manage the highways come to an understanding of their mission as moving people, not vehicles. I am quite cognizant that I was asking WMATA to take the lead on a project it cannot by itself deliver, and I understand the anxiety that attends such an undertaking. On the other hand, leadership for such a project must come from somewhere, and no other entity in the region is more appropriate to the task. I am therefore pleased that the general manager and staff have accepted this responsibility with some enthusiasm and have over the past year made real progress. The priority bus corridor plan that Metro is now developing is the first rough draft of the blueprint that I believe the region needs and that this authority must promulgate. The plan is expected to be before the board for action in the next few months, and I very much look forward to passing this milestone and moving on to the next phase in project development. I will not pretend that I'm satisfied with where we are now. In particular, I'd like to see us further along in working collaboratively with highway departments. But there are important dialogues taking place already and signs of movement in the right direction. Mr. Cato and I participated in a forum last month that included the head of the Maryland State Highway Department, who gave considerable encouragement to this effort, and I'd have to say surprised many in the very, very much pro-transit audience by saying all the right things. Now, if we can only get VDOT to think about something other than SOV travel. We have a long way to go, but we've made a good start. As board members, we learn much from staff, but we also need to learn from our riders, and I want to again acknowledge the work of the Riders Advisory Council. As I said, I set a goal for myself of forging a closer working relationship with the council, and I visited the Riders Council at the beginning of my chairmanship and again this past month at its end, in between benefiting greatly from regular consultation with Council Chairman Nancy Iacomini, who I again want to thank for her work. I believe the Council has much to offer the Board as we seek to improve the quality of our service. The Board has seen numerous examples this past year of items that were influenced by their input. To maximize that value, I think it is important for all Board members to have regular contact with the Council. I've urged Council members to seek opportunities to directly engage the Board members from their jurisdictions, and I encourage my colleagues to continue to do likewise. I know that over the past couple of years as we've started this thing, there have often been efforts by board members that have not been successful on the other end to get together with members of the council. So that is something I spent some time on with them when I met last month so that they would understand they really do want to talk to the board members, and all this will be more effective if they do so. Of course, there's no better way to learn from the rider's experience than by being one. Using the system, bus and rail, is the best way to stay on top of what's going on, and I believe that those who serve on the governing body of this transit agency should make every effort to immerse themselves in it. In that spirit, I issued a challenge to my colleagues for a little friendly contest among Virginia, Maryland, and the district to see which delegation could take the most trips on transit. While the final results are not yet tallied, I think it is fair to say the victory has been clinched, And I must offer congratulations to our colleagues from the District of Columbia who have established an insurmountable lead. Well done. I guess that means you get to pick the venue for our get-together per the terms. I want to say in concluding that I have to acknowledge that in the coming year, as we certainly saw this morning, the board is going to have to cope with the most severe budget constraint that this authority has yet confronted. The great challenge will be to ensure that, having made such progress recently, we do not find ourselves slipping backwards. To that effort, I will be working hard with my successor and all of you. And finally, I want to offer my sincere thanks to all those without whose efforts Wamana's year would not have been so successful, and my year in the chair could not have been so satisfying. In particular, all of my board colleagues for their support and cooperation, Mr. Cato and his staff, our board secretary, of course, I said the chairman of the Writers Council, and also the Arlington staff who support me in my work here, in particular Lynn Rivers of our Transit Bureau, and Gus Vega from our Management and Finance Department, who will be retiring from county service next month. Thanks to all of you. Thank all of you for a great year, and thank you for listening. All right. Thank you. I have a final duty or two here before rejoining the rank and file. The final thing I got to do is get some new officers around here. So first, I would like to call for the election of chairman, and then we'll do vice chairman and second vice chairman. First, are there nominations for chairman for the coming year? Mr. Albert.
Thank you. I hereby nominate my colleague Jim Graham from the District of Columbia for position of chair.
And I'm very pleased to second that nomination.
Nomination by Mr. Albert, seconded by Mr. Benjamin. If there are no further nominations, I will do the whole slate and then take one vote. I'll ask for nominations for vice chairman next. Ms. Hewlett.
Mr. Chairman, yes, I'd like to, it's my honor actually to nominate Peter Benjamin as vice chair.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move a second of that nomination.
And Ms. Hudgens seconds the nomination of Mr. Benjamin as vice chairman. And for second vice chairman, I would like to nominate Mrs. Hudgens to be second vice chairman of the board for the coming year. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Graham. Okay. If there are no further nominations, then the nominations are for chairman, Mr. Graham, for vice chairman, Mr. Benjamin, and for second vice chairman, Mrs. Hudgens. All in favor? Please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Congratulations. And Mr. Graham, the gavel is yours. Oh, dear.
With a big bus.
We've changed the gavel. Let me say first, thank you all very much for your trust and confidence in my election, and I congratulate each of the vice chairs for their election. Very briefly, I want to say how much we appreciate your continued service, Chris Zimmerman, with this board. Chris he is the longest serving board member of this, of Metro Board. He joined the board currently, right. He joined the board in January 1998. He's previously served as chairman of the board in 2002. I succeeded you in 2003. And so I thought it was time for a little change for that gavel plaque. And this, you can see, represents the principal modes of transit that we are engaged in. If I may point out, rail, bus, and paratransit, and the inscription reads, and this is from every member of this board, Mr. Zimmerman, it says, Chris Zimmerman, our riders and stakeholders are better off thanks to your dedicated service as WMATA board chairman presented by the board of directors for your service in 2008. Wow.
My wife will say, you all just know I like to play with trains.
You're quite welcome. And so now, having done that presentation, we will now proceed to reports from the jurisdictions. The District of Columbia, Mr. Albert. Let's see, from Maryland, it would be Mr. Benjamin, I think.
No, Mr. Linton.
Mr. Linton from Maryland, I beg your pardon.
No report.
Thank you. And from Virginia, Ms. Hutchins.
I would like to report that I understand that there's compact legislation moving through the Virginia legislature, and I hope that we will be successful in following the footsteps of the district. Thank you.
Well, maybe we should add to that report, because, but maybe we should actually save this for February in the sense of a fuller recap, but there is legislation moving in the District of Columbia in both houses of the Virginia legislature and about to be introduced in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. And so we have all of that in play at this time. Well, there being no further business to come before this board, there is a motion for executive session. I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss legal matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6B, contractual matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6D, safety and security matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6F, and personnel matters consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6C. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mr. Benjamin. Discussion, hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. And that motion is adopted. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.